This is an exciting weekend at CCV, and on all of our campuses, we begin this weekend adding a fourth campus in the East Valley. I'd like all of us to put our hands together and welcome the East Valley. It is really exciting, the transformation that's taken place there the last couple weeks, and so today is their great kickoff, and we are looking forward to what God is going to do. If you're visiting today, this is an incredible weekend, and I'm glad that you're a part of it. But we're finishing up a step-up campaign so that other people may know Jesus Christ, and we've been praying every day, 24 hours a day, as campuses, on all of our campuses, for the last 30 days, simply saying, God, speak to my heart. God, give me a burden for my neighbors, the people I work with, the people around me. And as you came into each of the campuses, you saw the prayer board that was there in the lobby. And if you stop and read that, you can see the names of people that are on those boards that we've been praying for, that God would work in their lives in an incredible way. We've also been challenging our church on all of our campuses this weekend to bring a one-time sacrificial gift. And a sacrificial gift would be where we adjust our lifestyle enough that we have to trust God with our future. And so this is an incredible time. And the reason why we're doing that is because we want to expand our ministry and enlarge the footprint of what we're trying to do to impact this valley for Jesus Christ. You see, if we want to have a greater impact, I believe our impact is determined by how we respond to opportunities. Our impact is determined by how we respond to opportunities. And if you look at the opportunities in this valley, we know that almost 9 out of 10 people do not have a church family. And so the opportunities are unlimited, and we want to impact this valley as best we can. And so what's the test of impact? What are some things that we have to go through if we're going to impact this valley for Jesus Christ? If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. This, to some of you, is a familiar passage. It's the parable of Jesus, the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it says this in John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked him only to test him, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Here's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. We know the scripture just recorded the men, but there was probably, counting women and children, 20,000 people there. What we would have together on all of our campuses. And Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. They did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, what are the tests that we're going to go through as individuals and a church if we are going to impact this valley for Christ and take advantage of opportunities? Well, I think the first test is what the disciples faced, and that was the test of faith. The test of faith, because the first thing was poor Philip. Now, why did Jesus pick Philip? I don't know, but one reason might be Philip was born and grew up in that area, and maybe he was trying to have some fun with Philip and say, "Philip, you know where the biggest restaurants are around here to feed all these people. What do you think we should do?" But really, he wanted to test his faith. And so as Philip said, "Lord, you know, if we just gave everybody a bite, it would take at least 8 months' wages." And so what Philip said was, the first test was what? There's not enough money. "Lord, there's no way that we have enough money among us to meet this need." The second disciple was Andrew. And Andrew is a guy that was sitting there almost every time we read about him in Scripture. He's always bringing somebody to Jesus. And here he finds a little boy with loaves and fish, 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're barley loaves instead of wheat loaves, meaning he was a poor boy. That's why he had barley loaves. The average young person would eat probably 3 barley loaves and 1 fish for his meal. So the fact that he had 5 and 2 could mean that he maybe brought enough lunch for somebody else, but not 20,000. And so Andrew's saying, Lord, here's a kid with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he said, how far will they go among so many? So Philip says, hey, we need some faith. There's not enough money. Andrew says there's not enough food. Because you see, in their thinking, they were looking at what they could see instead of the eyes of faith. And that's why faith is the evidence of things that we can't see. And that's why if we're going to grow and impact others, we've got to be people of faith. The second test was the test of resources. And this was a little boy. He brought 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, God always works through people. And the question for us today is, what do you have that God can use? You say, wait a minute, we're trying by faith to sacrifice, and all of us together on all of our campuses commit $5 million on one day to do this? You'd say, well, wait a minute, my little small part, what does it make any difference? Or what it makes difference if I give my boat or my car or my stock or my retirement or my jewelry or what does it make any difference? Well, the question I've always thought of as I read this story is, I know the boy had loaves and fish. The Bible doesn't say it, but somewhere I keep asking myself, didn't somebody out of 20,000 bring a little extra food? I don't know. But the question is, maybe they had it, but maybe they thought, you know what, I've got something, but it's not going to make any difference with this crowd, so they kept it to themselves. They gave nothing. But this young boy gave what? He gave everything. That's a sacrificial gift. He gave what he was going to eat for that day, and God used it. You see, if we offer nothing to God, God has nothing to use. And that's why God can't bless your gift if you don't give your gift. And so we find the test of faith, the test of resources, but the exciting thing is Jesus is involved in this, and we have the test of provision. He took it and blessed it and passed it out to the disciples. You see, your little becomes much when you place it in the hands of Jesus Christ. Whatever you have, we're coming by faith to release it and trusting him to do the rest. You see, God can turn obstacles into opportunities. God provided more than enough. You see what happened in this miracle? Everybody was out of food, and he fed everybody, and everybody got to take a basket home. Those were incredible leftovers. All right, so in this Step Up campaign, what's the challenge before us? We want to increase our faith. We want to adjust our lifestyle and trust God. We want to release our resources, and we want to watch God work a miracle. But you know, if we're not careful, the devil kind of starts talking to us, and he says, wait a minute, what's in this for you? And that's kind of the American question. If we're not careful, we say, wait a minute, I'll do this, but what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? And if you want to understand those principles, then I want you to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's giving principles. It's generosity principles. And the first principle is the principle of investment. It says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is an analogy of a farmer. You sow a little bit of seed, you're going to get a little crop. If you sow a lot of seed, you're going to get a bigger crop. And so what he's saying is, we reap in proportion to what we sow. If there's no risk, if you don't plant it, there's no reward. And this, growing up on a farm, this was kind of different for me, because I saw many times we would be out of seed, and my dad would take the last amount of seed by faith and sow it and trust God that he'd provide a crop. Because you see, if you don't sow it and you keep it all to yourself, then you never have the opportunity to have the harvest. At CCV, we really believe that God's going to do great things as we're generous. And so we desire a big impact. We want to impact this valley for Jesus Christ. From the East Valley to Scottsdale to Surprise to Peoria to Phoenix to the Southwest Valley, we say, God, we believe you've given us a mission to try to have a big impact in this valley for Jesus Christ. There's lost souls everywhere. And so you say, well, what's the investment? The investment is change lives. Change lives. And I can't put a dollar amount on change lives, on your family, on my family, my grandkids. You can't put a dollar sign on that. I wanted to watch this video and just listen to the people that want to say thank you for your generosity and how my life was changed.
I just want to thank everybody who gives every week and serves and gives of their time. CCV has been a huge blessing to me and my family, so thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you so much to all the wonderful people at CCV who give to this church. My family has been blessed truly in so many ways. We now serve in the church, we've been baptized in the church, and we are truly grateful for all of you, and just wanted to say thank you so much.
Thank you for those that have invested in CCV, because it's truly been a blessing in our lives through some difficult times.
We both got baptized here, and this church has had an amazing impact on our lives.
CCV has impacted our family in a wonderful way. Our kids love it here, and this is our home.
I want to thank CCV and the folks that have invested their time and money here. Over this last year, I've had the privilege of baptizing my daughter.
The mission that this church is on is just incredible, and I'm so appreciative of all of the efforts of all the people, because it's absolutely impacted my family.
Being a part of CCV since it was in Deer Valley High School to where it is now, this is because of people like you stepping out on a limb and trusting God.
I'd just like to thank everybody who's been giving and everybody who will give. If it wasn't for the people who gave for this campus, I wouldn't be here, so.
Both my girls have both been baptized, and they got to know the Lord, and they're just bringing all their friends, so thank you again.
It's changed my family's life, the kids that are in the mission field because of this place, so thank you very much.
Coming to CCV has really turned my life around, has made great changes.
I know it's impacted me personally, and I believe that is a ministry worth investing in.
This church has been such a blessing to my family. My kids love the ministry here.
And it has given us the opportunity to grow so much in Christ. I'm a changed life that's a result of your giving, and I have a family that's committed to Christ as a result of your giving and your participation.
I can't thank you guys enough for making CCV what it is, so thank you.
I just like to thank, you know, all the people here at CCV, you know, for giving me the opportunity to find this place.
Thank you so much for your generosity.
I'm so grateful for your kindness and your support.
And so I encourage all of you to continue the work that Christ has given each of us to make a difference in the valley.
Thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you guys so much for your generosity.
Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you so much for investing.
Thank you all for giving.
Thank you so much for investing.
Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you all for giving.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We thank you so much for investing in CCB.
Thank you so much.
Kaboosh. I hope you got the kaboosh.
Thank you for your generosity.
And so I just want to say to all of you, thanks for your generosity. That's why God has blessed this, because you've been willing to be used and you see the lives that have been changed. So the first principle is the principle of investment. The second principle is the principle of intent. When we give, we got to make sure we give with the right motives. Again, the Bible says in verse 7, each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He says, first of all, you don't give because you're sad. You don't give reluctantly. When we give reluctantly, it's my money. I don't want to let this go. Now, I can remember back 7 years ago when on the Peoria campus, we were doing a similar experience. We prayed and basically waited for 3 months to come together to raise funds to build the building, the youth and children's building. And that particular time, we had the adults come forward and give, but we had all the children on the stage, and they came right across the stage. We had a big wheelbarrow, and all of the children had been collecting their change for 3 months, and they took it out of their bank and put it in big Ziploc bags, and the teacher came with all these little kids, and they would take and dump their bag into the wheelbarrow. And I'll never forget it, They were all coming along. Everything was great. And it came to one little boy about 5 years old. And the teacher said, okay, put it in. And he took his bag and he went, no! You know, and I'll never forget that because I stopped the service and said, he said what we all feel. Okay, you know, I'm doing this. And it was just one of those funny moments where God really did that. And so maybe that's where some people are. And if you give reluctantly, you see, God cannot bless. Secondly, he says, don't be mad when you give. Don't give under compulsion. Don't give under pressure or under guilt. And that's why we've simply said, pray for these 30 days and let God speak to your heart. It's not between us and you. It's between you and God. And you let God speak to you and do whatever you believe God wants you to do. So we give not because we're sad, not because we're mad, but we give because we're glad. God loves a cheerful giver because we're thankful for everything that God has done for us. There's a principle of investment. It's changing lives. There's a principle of intent. Make sure you give with the right motives. And the principle of increase. Now, I want you to circle every time you see the word all in this scripture. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a principle of increase. You see, God always gives us more than enough so that we have all things for all we need at all times. Now you say, well, then good, I give so I can get. No. That's the wrong principle. You give because you want to be blessed, not because you're going to get. And so the reason we give is why? Not that God gives us more so that we can keep it to ourselves. God gives us more so that we can meet more needs. And so the principle here of generosity is when God finds people that are generous and they have a generous heart, then he says, I'm going to bless them. And that's where you learn you can't outgive God. It's the principle of increase. God keeps blessing over and over and over. So the takeaway is this. How much do you want to be blessed? How much do you want to be blessed? Look what the scripture says. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. What's he talking about? He says the outcome of generosity is we end up having more money. And because of that, we receive a larger harvest. Meaning what? More people are won to Jesus Christ and we have a more generous heart so that we can be generous on each and every occasion. And so I think the blessing here is how much do you want to be blessed? And I want to say to you on all of our campuses today, you're going to be a part of something that you'll remember the rest of your life because you're going to see God take your little and we release it to him and we're going to see God do the more than we can ask or think or imagine. Or maybe I would put it this way. The kid showed up with a sack lunch and he went home with a basket full. You can't outgive God. This young man wasn't expecting his life to turn out that way, but God used his generosity to feed multitudes, And God will use our generosity to reach multitudes in this valley for Jesus Christ. And he will take what we give, and he will bless it, and we'll find out that we'll be able to go home with our basket running over. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you today that we have a chance to be a part of something way beyond what we've ever done before. We're doing this, Lord, so that others might know Jesus Christ. In this process, Lord, I pray that you will take our faith to another level, both as individuals and as a church. And as we plant generously, you will give us the reward generously, and we'll learn to trust you more and more and live by faith, because that's where the Christian life gets exciting. When we put ourselves out in the water and we trust you with our future and with our finances. So now, Lord, on every campus, as we come to worship you with what you've entrusted to us, we pray that you would use this, you would multiply it, and you would reach thousands in this valley for Jesus Christ. Thank you for blessing us. In your name we pray, amen.